Amen. Amen. Somebody say amen again. I am excited. I am elated. I'm overjoyed to be here with you on this evening. I appreciate the invitation. I appreciate your leadership, your fine elders, your deacons, and your wonderful minister for extending the invitation for me to come here. And I was listening to Brother D as he was reading this biography, and I was wondering, where did he get this information? Because nobody called me to get information, so that would be what you would call an unauthorized biography. And so I want you to know that. And one thing that we want to make sure that we understand, with all of that information that he gave, what I want you to be mindful of is that I'm above everything else a child of God. And I am grateful to him for all of the many blessings that he has given me over these years. Now, you heard Brother D mention that our gospel meeting is going on there at the I-85 church, and I bring you greetings from the I-85 congregation, where Brother Albert Scurry is our minister. And I want you to know that I didn't sneak away from the congregation. Brother Scurry knows exactly where I am, and I'm here with his blessing and his authorization. Now, he ain't happy because the meeting is going on, but we understand that we have the ability to carry on different functions within the vineyard. And so I'm here with you on this evening to talk with you a little bit about mental health issues and the pink elephant concept. I want you to know that that came from your very fine preacher. And so that was not mine. And so, but I took up on that theme, and as you can see, we've got pink elephants on display here. I want you to see that, because that's the last time we're going to talk about pink elephants as we go through this information. Now, one of the challenges that I have, and Brother D will let you know that the time is not my friend, and so the clock runs faster usually than my lesson allows, and so I'm going to be mindful of that so that I will not wear out my welcome here. So we will endeavor to be timely, and so we want to get right into the subject that you've asked me here. And I want to begin with a question, and that question is, when you hear the term mental illness, what comes to mind? So I say mental illness, and the first thing that you think of is what? Crazy. Okay. All right. Okay. What about that? What else? Sick. Okay. All right. Anything else? Think differently. All right. All right. Okay. I'm going to be spinning. Okay. I got it. That's all right. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yes. Yes, indeed. Anything else? Okay. So certainly we understand that, especially when we turn on the news and we see the current events going on, there are a lot of things that tie into and are being tied into this concept of mental health, mental wellness, and mental illness. We've got mass shootings that are going on. We see folk high-profile celebrities committing suicide, homicide. All of these folks bring to mind this concept of mental illness. So what I want to do for just a second is get just a little clinical with you. I promise that I won't be long with this, but I want to give you some concept of really technically what we're talking about when we talk about mental illness. And so there are some mental health conditions that I want to share with you. But before I do that, I want you to recognize that in the United States of America, there are one of every four individuals that are suffering from some form of mental health condition. I'm going to say that again. One in four individuals in the United States are dealing with some form of mental health issue or condition. Now think about those numbers for a second, because if it's one in four, that's 25%. Chances are that somebody you know, or maybe even some of ourselves, are dealing with some form of a mental health issue. Okay? And so we want to be able to talk about that and deal with it. And so here are some examples of different mental health conditions. So mood disorders, they come in the form of depression, anxiety, and mania is another one of those. Depression, you're feeling low, for lack of a better term. But this isn't just, you know, I'm in a bad mood. This is a feeling of despair, low, and I can't get up, okay? Anxiety. Again, this is not just a little nervousness that we're talking about. We're talking about things that debilitate and keep us from being able to function. Mania. And so that's the opposite of depression. And so we're way up here. We're excited. We go to the mall and we spend $10,000 in one shot. And we're happy about it until the bill comes. Okay? And so this drives us to just move in a rapid fashion. So these are our mood disorders. Thought disorders, schizophrenia is one of the main forms of thought disorders. You will commonly hear or see individuals that are hearing and responding to internal stimuli, voices, if you will. That's a common symptom of schizophrenia and what they call schizoaffective disorders. Okay? Commonly hearing voices responding to stimuli. Dissociative disorders, commonly known as multiple personality disorders. So these are some of the more debilitating types of mental health issues that we see. Personality disorders. So these are more around not so much that can be dealt with medication, but these are disorders of the personality where the narcissist is all about me, okay, to the point of exclusion of anybody else. And it becomes a situation that's almost pathological in the behavior. Borderline personality. This is one of the more challenging personality disorders whereby you run into a situation where individuals will they'll sabotage relationships. It's almost a push and pull effect there. They'll say, you don't love me, come closer, no, get away, and it's a push and pull a situation there. They can use manipulation. There are different symptomatologies that are attached to that. Antisocial personality. No regard for other individuals. Okay? So that's different than narcissism. It's all about me. Antisocial is I don't care about you. Okay? So these are some of the personality disorders that are there. These are just a sample of some mental health issues that folk are struggling with. This is obviously not exhaustive. There is a manual called the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Health Diseases and Conditions, the DSM. We're up to number 5 now, and it's about this thick. So with disorders, substance abuse is a related condition to mental health issues, and so remember that those are well connected there. Now, I know that Brother Scurry was here last week and talked a little bit about addiction, and that can fall under the heading as well of mental health issues. So I want to give you a scope and a context on which to think about mental health issues. But what I want you to understand is that although we're hearing a lot in our media right now about mental health issues are not new. Okay? Mental health issues have been with us for a long time. In fact, there are many biblical examples of folk who, if you look at their behaviors, were dealing with what we commonly know as mental health issues right now. So, let me give you some examples of biblical individuals that may have been struggling with mental health issues. So, Genesis chapter 4, beginning in verse. Y'all got Bibles, right? Wednesday, we. Oh, yeah, okay, cool. I'm in the right place. I just want to make sure. So, Genesis chapter 4, beginning in verse number 5. Can you read that for us, please? All right. So we see Cain. In the first family that ever was, got to the point where he was homicidal, killed his brother there. And this is an example of an individual who, in rage, committed murder. Okay? We could say that that homicide was a fact of mental health condition. Jonah, in Jonah chapter 4, beginning in verse number 1, let's read that. Jonah chapter 4, verse number 1. Okay, so Jonah, in despair, we remember the story where Jonah was commissioned to preach to those folk at Nineveh, and what did he do? Y'all remember? He fled. Okay, he said, okay, I get the commission, I'm going, I got it, I'm supposed to go to Nineveh, and so he got his ticket to Tarsus. He went over to Tarsus. That wasn't where he was supposed to go. But we know what ended up. The Lord prepared a fish for it. Swallowed him up there, and by the time he was done with him, he hurried on down to where he needed to be and took care of the business. And sure enough, those folk responded to his preaching, and he was in despair and angry because they responded to the preaching. And he was at the point where he said, you know what, I should just go ahead and die. Okay, he was at the point where he wanted to give his life because of the response of these folk. We can say that his suicidal ideation was one of the conditions that we talk about when we talk about mental health issues. Okay? Moses, in Numbers chapter 11, beginning in verse number 11 through 15. And we know Moses, one of the great prophets of God, even he exhibited some of the characteristics that could be classified as mental health disorder. Somebody read Numbers chapter 11, beginning in verse number 11 through 15. Okay. So Moses, y'all remember, he was commissioned to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt, and he did just that, brought them through the Red Sea on dry land, got them out there in the wilderness. They were happy for a little while, but, you know, like folk do, began to murmur, mumble, and complain. And when they began to murmur and mumble and complain, who did they look at? They looked at Moses. Moses, we were doing fine over there in Egypt until you brought us out here into this wilderness to die. We need food. We need what? We were good back there. Now you got us out here. Now Moses has the burden of these people on his shoulders. And he's making his case to God, and now he is under anxiety. He's like, why are they looking at me? I didn't birth these folk. Why do they think I'm the one that's supposed to be supplying them? And, oh, by the way, God, why are you dealing with me like this? You put me in this position. Oh, if you're going to deal with me like this, you might as well go ahead and kill me. Okay? Exhibiting some mental health conditions there. And finally, Job. We're very familiar with the man Job and his afflictions. Job chapter 3, though, you hear Job speaking for himself as it relates to his take on his dilemma. So, Job chapter 3, beginning in verse number 1. That depressed me when he was talking. And so you can see Job was in despair. And if you remember the occurrences, you understand why. Job was in a situation where he had sons and daughters, and he had cattle and oxen, and he had manservants and maidservants, and he was in pretty good shape. But Satan came along and was walking to and fro among the earth, and God said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" Pointed him out for consideration. And so we know the story that he was able to give Satan permission to inflict all manner of consequence on Job. Lost his children, lost his possessions, lost his substance. Everything that someone might hold as valuable and dear, Moses lost. Job lost. And he was in despair. You can say from the reading, he's talking about what? Darkness and gloom. This is classic depressive symptomatology. Okay? So I'm going to stop right here and give my disclaimer right now. In all of the things that you heard in my background, you did not hear mental health clinician. Okay? So I am not a mental health clinician or a provider. Okay? I am an administrator of behavioral health services. And so why do I give that disclaimer? Because I do not treat, diagnose, practice, or any of those that interactive components. But I'm going to give you some resources later on that can perhaps help with that. So I do that so that you don't call me and say, "Well, you know, Brother Chisholm, my mama is dealing with, can you tell us?" No, I can tell you who to talk to. Okay, so I want to make that distinction right off the bat. And so as we see these conditions within Scripture of individuals that are even dealing with mental health issues, the question becomes, well, where did mental health issues arise? How did we come to have mental health issues in the world? Anybody got any ideas? Sir? You got people, you got issues. Okay, very good. As you can see, it wasn't long because here was Cain, person number 3. So it wasn't long before the issues began from a mental health perspective. That's good. Sin. That's where it begins. And so what we need to understand is that when sin entered the world, my good friend, Brother Holly there in Memphis, always say, man will mess up free lunch and kick over a good bucket of milk. And that's what we did when we allowed sin to enter into the world. And so when that happened, all manner of fallenness and brokenness entered the world with sin. And so man began to, from that moment, began to break down physically. And we understand that. We understand the fact that men now will get ill, the pneumonia, diabetes, hypertension. Okay? All of these things are as a result of the entrance of sin into the world. Now, I want to be very clear on this, and the reason I'm using physical examples is because I want to be clear with those when we talk about the mental health examples. Okay? So, what we want to be clear is that just as no one suffers from diabetes as a result of their individual sin, nobody suffers from mental health issues as a result of any individual sin. Okay? Because often what we'll do is we'll say, oh, God must be dealing with them because they're going through these issues. No. What is occurring is that just as the rest of the conditions as a result of the fall are entered into the world, mental illness has also entered right along with it. Okay? So there needs to be no distinction in the origins of mental health issues. That makes sense? Okay. Now, that's basically the framework. Man was created free from sickness and death. Okay, that's how it started. Sin entered the world. Sickness and death came right along with it. And as a part of that sickness and death, because if you remember when I asked you all to name some things that came to mind when you talked about mental health issues, one of the things you talked about was sickness. And so right along with sickness and death came mental health issues. Okay? And so I want to make sure to draw this parallel to physical health and mental health, because it seems like we have less of a problem dealing with physical health issues as opposed to mental health issues. And I want to try to help us with that. So when we think about physical health breaking down, what are some of the factors? One of the first ones is the body ages. Okay? I can attest to the body aging. Anybody ever do this one? Where did I put those glasses? I just had them. Anybody? And they're right here. Okay? Yeah. That's a symptom of the aging process. So we all are dealing with that. The body malfunctions. Okay? Just keep on saying good morning, and you'll notice things that used to work don't necessarily work anymore. Okay? And we chalk that up to the natural course of our breakdown. Okay? The body gets injured. Okay? Anybody had any broken bones? Amen. Very good. It's a blessed group of folk here. Usually we get a few more of those. We get broken bones. We scrape our knees. We fall down. We injure ourselves. And that causes our body to be harmed. The body is also poorly maintained. Nobody raise your hand on this one. But we don't do as good of a job of taking care of our bodies as we could. And because of that, the body breaks down. That's another lesson entirely. But suffice it to say that these are conditions that cause us difficulty as it relates to our physical health. So what about mental health factors? I'll submit to you that just as the body ages, the mind ages. Okay? Just as the body malfunctions, the mind malfunctions. Just as the body is injured, the mind is injured. How do we think the mind gets injured? Trauma. Exactly. So when we think about trauma, when we think about physical trauma, we think about bones breaking. We think about injuries and those types of things. But when we think about mental trauma, you know, some of the things that we as human beings witness and experience and go through was never meant for man to deal with. And his mind can't conceive of it. And it causes an injury to the mind. Okay? So the mind can be injured just like the body can be injured. If the body can be poorly maintained, then guess what? The mind can be poorly maintained as well. And so, if we had to give some examples of poor mind maintenance, what would some examples be? Okay, not reading regularly. Okay, I'll buy that. Yeah, not enough rest. Exactly. So just like your physical body will break down from lack of rest, guess what? If you've got a tired mind and you continue to starve it of rest, then it's going to have consequences. Exactly. Exactly. What we expose ourselves to voluntarily can cause us to have issues related to mental health, because we can expose ourselves to things that, again, we were never designed to experience. And now I'm not going to get on my social media soapbox right now, but it's good as a tool when it's used appropriately, but now we are in a position where we can be assaulted in our senses in our very own homes just by a click of a mouse. And now we carry it. And so these are factors that keep us from taking care of ourselves from a mental health perspective in the manner that we could. And so these are factors that come into play when we talk about this concept of mental health issues. Now, having laid this framework and having talked about how am I doing on time? I know. Yeah, see, I need to understand. Am I good? Okay, good. So having laid this framework, I just heard myself saying, okay, you just laid the framework. Wait a minute. You need to make sure you're getting where you need to go. Now, I have another question. And the question is, if it's so prevalent, I told you earlier 1 in 4 individuals are dealing with mental health issues. I've just talked about all of these different insults that can contribute to mental health issues. The question becomes, why do we have so much trouble talking about it? Okay, somebody said taboo. Somebody said it's not popular. Okay? Don't want to deal with it. Mm-hmm. Most people don't understand. That's right. Somebody said a word. Stigma. That's the one I want. And so, when we talk about stigma, what's that word mean? Label? Mm-hmm. Stereotype, somebody said? Yeah, yeah. The literal meaning of the word is a mark. And it's a mark of derision. It's a mark of bringing someone down. It's a mark of dishonor, disgrace. The literal meaning also is as a stain. That's stigma. So you remember the story we had to read when I was in high school many, many moons ago. The Scarlet Letter, where Hester Prynne was made to wear a big red A so that everybody would look down upon her because of her reputation. That was stigmatizing for her. And that's what we're talking about when we talk about stigma. Now, when we talk about stigma as it relates to mental health, you all have hit it right on the head because there is a certain marking that is done when we identify folk are struggling with mental health issues. Remember when we started, I asked what comes to mind when we talk about mental health issues. What's the first thing y'all said? Crazy. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's what we do. And so this is a reason why we deal with the fact that we don't talk about it. Now, if we look at Leviticus chapter 13, verse 35 and 36, we'll see something that parallels this concept of being stigmatized. That's Leviticus chapter 13. Verses 35 and 36. Somebody read that. Mm-hmm. So what we're talking about here is what? Don't stop. I want you to read the next verse. But we're talking about what? Leprosy. Okay? And so if you remember in Scripture, what was going on was this condition was such that you could see it by the scales that were visible, and you were described as what? Unclean, right? But now, verse 36 says what? All right, stop right there. So, with this condition of leprosy, once he was determined to be leprous, what had to happen was he had to place a covering above his lip. And when he came into the presence of anybody else, he had to yell, unclean, unclean, and would be ostracized to the point where they began to gather all of the folk that were determined to have this condition of leprosy and put them all together in one place. We used to call it a what? Anybody know? A leper colony. Yeah. And so you couldn't go within the general population. You were segregated and ostracized for your condition. What I'll submit to you is, similarly, the mental health sufferer is ostracized, labeled, and in some cases, shunned away from the general population. And that's why we don't talk about it. Because after all, who wants to be shunned away from loved ones? Okay? Who wants to be labeled and misunderstood? Yes, sir. Oh, absolutely. Now, even more so several decades ago, when you went to, and they used to call them, there was one in New Jersey where I grew up, which was called the Pinehurst Insane Asylum. That's what they used to call them. And then they moved up and they started calling them sanatoriums and got other, and then mental health hospitals, and now they're called behavioral health hospitals. I'm an administrator of a behavioral health hospital there in South Carolina. And I've been an administrator of behavioral health hospitals for the last 25 years. And it's gotten better, but they're still associated the same type of stigma that you're talking about. They're crazy. Touched in the head. Not all there. Who would want to admit to having conditions that are referred to like this? This is why we don't talk about it. But what we need to understand is that if we don't talk about it, it can be deadly. So we talked about the fact that we don't talk about it, but also, as a result of us not talking about it, we refuse to seek the help that can impact these conditions. And so, what are some reasons why we might refuse to seek the help? One is we don't trust doctors, especially in our communities. Anybody know about the Tuskegee experiments? Okay, there are folk right now that will not see a physician based upon the fact that we don't trust what doctors will do. Okay, so that's one reason why we don't seek assistance. I'm not crazy. If I seek assistance, then somebody's going to think I'm crazy, and I'm not crazy. Yeah. But if one in four individuals are dealing with some form of mental health issue, then guess what? It's some folk that need some help. Often there's a cost associated with seeking treatment, with seeking help. And so folks say, wait a minute, I'm not prepared to undergo that cost. And, oh, by the way, I've got a long list of other things that I've got to deal with. I don't have time to deal with that. My priorities are such that I won't deal with that. I'm just going to suck it up and deal with it. But what I want us to understand, and more we need just society in general, but the Christian in particular needs to understand that if we don't get this treatment, it can be catastrophic. And even deadly. Often the folk that we see that are committing suicide, that are committing these mass acts that are a result of mental health issues, are a result of mental health issues that have gone untreated and undealt with for a period of time. Okay? So we need to understand that. The other thing we need to understand is that just because one is dealing with a mental health issue does not mean that they're dangerous, doesn't mean that they're going to harm themselves or anybody else. In fact, the majority of folk that are dealing with mental health issues are not violent at all. Now, your television will tell you something different, but the reality is that the vast majority are within our society and suffering because we won't talk about it. Okay? But we can't continue to do that. And so one of the things that I did in preparing for this is to look at some of the local resources that you have here. And I just want to highlight a couple of them. So NAMI, and that stands for the National Alliance for the Mentally Ill. That is an advocacy and support organization across the country that helps families and individuals that are dealing with mental health issues. Usually they are comprised of folk who have experienced mental health illnesses and are peers that are helping with group support, that are helping with information, education, and advocacy at the legislative level. Okay? And so here in this area is NAMI, Tennessee, and you see the information here, both the website and the number there. Also, there is the Mental Health Collaborative here locally that provides treatment for individuals who are dealing with mental health issues. And again, we've got the information here. And I'm going to leave this information here with your minister so that you all can have this information. And, of course, I'm sure there are other local providers that you can access as well. And also, I would hazard a guess, I don't know this, but I would hazard a guess that even within the church here in the local area, there are behavioral health professionals that can integrate Christian principles into the treatment process. And so much the better when you're able to do that, when you understand that there is a connection in what we deal with on a daily basis and our relationship with God. Okay? So we need to make sure we understand that. And finally, having said all of that, how am I doing? All right, I'm in good shape. All right, good. So, having said all of that, we need to understand that just like anything else, mental health conditions can be addressed and covered by the grace of God. Okay? Even mental health issues do not escape the purview of an almighty God. The God that we know about is omniscient. And so that means he knows everything. The God that we know about is omnipresent. So that means he is everywhere all at the same time. The God that we know about is omnipotent. In South Carolina, we say omnipotent. That's how we say that. That means he has all power. And so if the God we serve has all power, it stands to reason that he also has all power when it comes to mental health issues. So never discount in anything that you're going through, including mental health issues, never discount the power of an almighty God. You've got to make sure that you do that. Somebody turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. All right. So this is the same God that we're dealing with on a daily basis. Now, the Apostle Paul, as he was dealing with his affliction, was made to know that God said, "My grace is sufficient." Because he says, when I am weak, what happens? I am therefore made strong. Okay? And so even when it comes to mental health issues, the grace of God has to be factored into the equation. Okay? Romans chapter 8, verse 35-39. Romans 8, chapter 35, the love of Christ. And did you hear that list of things that can't separate us? So you can plug in there whatever you want to. Neither depression, nor anxiety, nor suicidal ideation can separate us from the love of Christ. And the Christian has a unique perspective and opportunity to deal with these issues. Now, I want you to hear me clearly. God can use the psychiatrist to deal with your mental health issue. Okay? So don't run away from here talking about, oh, okay, God's going to take care of it. I don't need no treatment. Okay, that's not what we're saying. But what we're saying is that we serve a God that can intervene in any circumstance, including mental health issues. And we need to understand that. And the love of Christ will give us access to what we need in this life. So the question becomes, are we sure that we are in position to access the love of Christ? And so we need to make sure that we are in position to do so. The only way that we're able to access the love of Christ is that we have to respond positively to his gospel. Outside of that, all of that good stuff we just talked about, the love of Christ not being separated from, we don't have access. Unless and until we respond in the affirmative to the good news of Christ Jesus. And what is that good news? That is the fact that Christ died for our sins. He was buried. He rose again the third day. That's the gospel. That's the good news that Romans 1:16 says is the power of God unto salvation for all those who believe, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. That's the gospel. That's the good news. That's what we need to respond to in order to place us in position of the love of God through his son, Christ Jesus. And so having heard that, the question becomes, do you believe it? Got to be believers in the gospel in order to access this love that comes from Christ. If you believe it, you have the opportunity to repent of your sins, to change your behavior, to say, I'm not going to walk the way I want to walk anymore. I'm going to do those things that God wants me to do. And I tell our folk at home all the time, that doesn't mean that you're going to know everything that God wants you to do. But your commitment is that whatever it is, I'm going to commit myself to finding that out and doing that and not doing what I've been doing. Yeah, that's repentance. I'm going to make a turn. I'm going to make a change. And then you have the opportunity to confess Christ Jesus as the Son of the living God. And when you make that confession, you then have the opportunity to submit yourself to baptism in water for the remission of sins. And when you are in position, having submitted yourself to baptism, then God takes over. And he adds you to his body, which is the church. And you're able to arise in newness of life. A Christian, a child of God, able to access the love of Christ, that you're now able to tap into that omnipotent God whom we serve. There might be one who is in need of responding to this gospel tonight. Now, y'all know how we do. We always say, the water's ready. I don't have no idea if the water's ready. Is the water ready? Yeah. The water is ready. I know if it's here, it's warm. So you don't have to worry about that. Okay. So the water is ready. I know we got brothers in here, so I know the baptizer is ready. Heaven is always ready. And so the question is, are you ready? There might be some who are desiring the prayers of the church. You have the opportunity to make those requests known, and we'll pray for you. The prayer of God's people is powerful. There is no greater power than God's folk talking to the Father on behalf of his folks. So if you need the prayers of brothers and sisters in Christ, or whether you need to respond to the gospel call, whatever your needs might be, we give you the opportunity to make those requests known right now as together we stand and together we sing.